Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you'd like. We've been talking about net neutrality and this new bill that apparently is under a proposal in Washington, D.C., called the Internet Freedom Act, and Derek J. will resume telling us about that. You can tell us whatever is on your mind here. The toll-free number is 855-453, plus the latest on the Ross Ulbricht situation. Apparently, they're filing for a retrial. Will it be granted? Well, that's another question entirely, but we can tell you what the basis for the filing is coming up here in a moment. Our toll-free number is 855-453, and we have Skype. You can Skype in at username lrn.fm. So, Derek Jake, can we recap, or can you recap where we've been so far in the story, and where is it coming from again?
TheDailyBeast.com, okay. And the story is that last week, there was a bill known as net neutrality that passed. And
wasn't
was
a bill.
Signed
it was FCC regulations.
Okay, thanks for the correction.
So the FCC granted themselves more power.
Good for them.
Yeah, with and, no lack of Congress.
Yeah, and a lot of people love that. You know, I don't, but a lot of people on the Internet were really happy, like, yay, this language sounds like the Internet's going to be more neutral, and I like that. And the government makes things more fair, usually, I guess, is what they're thinking.
They certainly tell us they do.
Yeah, so more government means more fair, so yay.
Even though a lot of the people who've defended freedom on the Internet for a long time have defended against the government's encroachments, now all of a sudden they believe that same government that has, for the last decade, tried to come up with taxation schemes and control schemes, and of course operates the NSA, that of course is spying on people, even though the government has done all kinds of things to destroy freedom online, and in some cases has failed due to these very same activists who have been supporting net neutrality. Now, for some reason, they believe that because the FCC is going to get involved, that everything's going to be better. It's just a crazy delusion.
Well, also, the suggestion is that somehow things are bad right now, right? So, like, at this moment...
Well, the megacorporations. So they want to use... of course, megacorporations are evil, and so, therefore, they want the megaist of all corporations to come in and put a stop to these megacorporations.
I don't disagree that the incentives are for, you know, corporations, large corporations, to act selfishly. The incentives for everyone in a lot of circumstances are to act selfishly. But there's also countering incentives that people want to go to regular websites and blogs and things like that. So the ISPs need to take that into consideration, too. So I don't know how it all would pan out in a, you know, as time goes by in a more free world. But, you know, the government decided long ago who the telephone monopoly is going to be. And a lot of people's internet's delivered along that. Many local governments decide who the cable monopoly is going to be, and the internet's delivered along that. The government can regulate the satellites in the sky in some cases, and decide, and the internet comes down upon that. The government is the one that limits this stuff, and then they're supposed to step in and be the referee. They've shown themselves traditionally to be very bad referees.
So, and here we are the next week after this net neutrality thing goes through, and there's a bill called the Internet Freedom Act, which is proposed by a woman named Marsha Blackburn, a Republican from Tennessee. And it's supposed to undo some of the regulations that the FCC invented for itself. So more on this story. I was pointing out some of the language in what is an admittedly biased article against this new Internet Freedom Act and for net neutrality. And one of the sentences we left off on was, the legislation would invalidate rules instituted by the FCC last week that declared the Internet a public utility and disallowed telecoms from forcibly slowing or blocking web traffic to competitors, or separating the web into artificial cable package-like tiers for lower-paying users. And there's a lot to unpack in that sentence, but to me, the first thing that sticks out is the word forcibly, because I care a lot about consent, and all things in my life operate by consent. And when I hear that term force, it stands out. So what's he saying? from forcibly slowing or blocking web traffic to competitors. I don't see that as force. I don't see not providing a service as tantamount to using force against someone. That's not the appropriate use of that word.
Well, yeah, I mean, what this is all based on is the paranoia that this throttling or these restrictions on bandwidth will happen across the board, that all of the internet providers will start restricting the throughput of certain websites. And there's no real basis for that except just pure fear-mongering about what could happen, because companies could, in theory, set their networks up to restrict certain types of traffic. They can do that, but that, as you're saying, is not force. That's them using their property in the way that they think is going to benefit them. Now, I don't agree that it will benefit them, because I think in the long term, if a company tries to do that, the customers are going to bail out and they're going to go to the competitor.
Well, you're fear-mongering, too. So what you're saying is that the government's going to come in and mess things up. What we have to
do
is...
That's what they always do.
Well, right. I mean, this is what we need to do, is we need to look at the statistical likelihood. So in one case, where the proposition is the government will come in and mess things up, and we can say that in many cases, most cases, I would say, the government, when it gets involved in regulation, that there are unintended consequences often that make the situation worse than it was before. In the other case, what's being proposed is that a product or service will not be available in the marketplace. Like, a free market will be bad at delivering a product or service. And what we can see historically is this really isn't the case, right? Like, government's really bad at delivering products and services. The free market, really good at it. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that somehow products and services won't be delivered in the marketplace, and I just don't think that's the case. Could costs go up to have sort of the whole internet? I suppose that's a possibility, in the same way that cable packages are put out there. If you want the whole world of costs of live sports or something like that, you'd have to pay more. And that for your basic stuff of people, you know, the channels that people really want to get out there to you, that'll be less. I don't know. Would Google and Facebook get together and say, hey, we want to provide a free level of internet connectivity just for Google and Facebook? And they might very well do that, and then you'd have to pay, say, $40 a month to get to the rest of the internet. Is that fair? Well, no.
Is it force?
It's certainly not force, but it's not fair to the websites that you have to pay to get to, because if you want your blog read, you'd have to give some money to the ISP. That's what the claim is here, and I'm not sure that the claim just sounds spurious to me.
Yeah, so you mentioned Google and Facebook, and I have to say those are two of the companies I'm on the internet, probably on YouTube.
I call them
and Facebook.
Each half of the internet.
Yeah,
I mean, basically, if Google and Facebook are each half of the internet.
So if I could be offered a cable package like tier for lower paying users, as this one author puts it, where they say, "Hey, Derek, for $5 a month, you can have every website that Google serves and every Facebook."
But you have to get to that website through Google when you go to the website.
Sure, fair enough. Whatever you want.
Rather than typing in a URL, freetalklive.com, you would have to go to Google and you'd have to type in Free Talk Live and then click on it. I think the vast majority of people would say, I'll take that service.
Yeah, I agree.
For free.
You know, if that's something that the price incentive makes sense, why wouldn't you want that to be offered? Just because they say it's for lower-paying users. Oh, we don't want people to get less of an internet. Oh, what a shame that would be. But no, really, that could actually be a great thing. I don't need the whole internet. Some days I might, and then I could switch over to another provider who does provide that for a fee that I would afford to pay. But anyway, I just want to point out that this is not force. He's being tricky with his language, and what he's saying about web traffic being blocked to competitors hasn't really happened and wouldn't be the worst of all evils.
Some people claim it has happened.
Like what? That would be like Comcast, which is connected with NBC, providing their television content online, but then blocking people from being able to go to Fox.com or ABC.com and enjoy their online content.
Yeah, the claim
that's not happening.
The claim is that it has happened, and I forget what it was, but that Verizon Wireless somehow restricted
something. I'm sorry, I don't remember what it was. But it
sounds like baloney.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, it hasn't happened, and I don't think it ever really would because of competition. But nonetheless, we'll come back with more.
Yes.
You've got more. The toll-free number is 855-453. That's 855-450-3733. And Skype in at username lrn.fm with your thoughts on whatever you want. It's Free Talk Live.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-463-9184. That's 1-800-463-9184. 1-800-463-9184.
Gold isn't for you?
Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well. Free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
For Free Talk Live, happening now, you can dial in toll-free at 855-453. That's 855-450-3733. Net neutrality discussion continuing here with a piece of legislation that's been proposed called the Internet Freedom Act. to supposedly undo some of the things the FCC did with its decision to make the Internet a so-called public utility under what's called Title II a couple of weeks ago. Now, what I want to know is a couple things. One, how does the lady who's writing this bill know what the FCC's done? I thought it wasn't available, the 300-some pages that they passed. Does that mean Congress gets access to it, but other people don't? Because what I had heard was that only the FCC commissioners were the ones that had read the bill, or I guess bill's not the right word, but the regulations prior to them passing, and that the regulations would not be available publicly until after they go into effect, which wasn't happening immediately. So I'd like to know where that came from. Where, how did she know what to undo out of the FCC's rule set? And secondly, isn't this much ado about nothing? I mean, she's going to need the, first of all, it needs to pass Congress, which it could in theory do because it's a Republican Congress, but the president's not going to sign this, right? Like, I mean,
probably not.
Isn't this just essentially a campaign platform more than anything else?
Well, to some extent, you kind of have to put it out there in order to get it through at some point.
That's
right?
True.
You
That's
know,
true.
You just have to float it around. For instance, the SOPA thing, there was a lot of ado about that, and you kind of have to get the momentum. If for whatever reason you can communicate to Barack Obama that this is really important to the public, I don't think you will. I think that this is really well split, even like very even. And it's interesting that the Republicans, who probably know nothing in many cases about the Internet, as evidenced by Lindsey Graham never having sent an email, are now on the side of non-net neutrality, which of course might be more neutral than net neutrality.
We'll talk more about it here in a moment. And take your calls at 855-450-FREE. The Texas Bitcoin Conference is just around the corner. We're talking about 20 days now, March 28th to the 29th in Austin, Texas. It's happening in downtown Austin at the Moody Theater. The second annual Texas Bitcoin Conference will feature great speakers like world-famous investor, economist, and author George Gilder, IBM's architect of their blockchain technology, Symbala Nair, will be flying in from India, Jason King, Robert Murphy, David Johnston, Charlie Shrem, and other speakers. Go to TexasBitcoinConference.com to get the full list and order your tickets using code FTL. That's FTL like Free Talk Live. You punch in FTL, you'll save $25 off the already affordable $150 admission price. And you'll also have $25 from your admission price be donated to Sean's Outpost, which is a great Bitcoin-based charity helping out homeless folks in North Florida. So go to TexasBitcoinConference.com. We were there last year for the first one,
yeah.
And we're going back this year.
Yep.
We'll be broadcasting live, which I'm very excited about. It was a really good time last year, and looking forward to it again. So you can join us there and join all these wonderful Bitcoin experts and doers in the field, TexasBitcoinConference.com. Don't forget to use FTL as your discount code to get $25 off the ticket price. We'll continue to hear more on net neutrality and the proposed repeal of some of it. She's not repealing the entire 300 pages, so what things is she leaving in play? What things is she actually proposing to repeal? Maybe this thing won't be so as great as it sounds at all. I mean, who knows? We haven't actually read this, and I don't know if the author of the story has either. But let's go to Brian in Nashua, New Hampshire, listening to WSMN. Hello, Brian.
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Mark. This is your friend who was at the conference over the weekend.
Welcome.
Good to talk to you guys again, Brian Henschy. Anyway, so
Derek J is in studio as well. Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, hey, Derek J.
Howdy.
So I just wanted to call in quickly and say I think it's bizarre. I also had the same experience with people on Facebook talking about how great it is. Oh, my gosh, net neutrality. It's going to be equal and blah, blah, blah. And the whole thing with net neutrality to me is that it's more government intrusion. It's less freedom for individuals and for different companies. And when I try to stretch my brain and think about what government has gotten involved in that's inserted itself into that has actually gotten better, I can't really think of anything. I mean, look at healthcare as our most recent example. People lost their plan. People lost their doctors. Lots of people are unhappy.
A lot of doctors quit.
That too. I just heard an interview yesterday or today about a doctor who left because of Obamacare. So I mean,
Okay, so let me take the other side on this one. I've got a couple of programs that I think worked out reasonably well, but I'm going to go ahead and take the big one. So the left will say, let's look at Social Security for a second here. I mean, you know, prior to Social Security, old people were dying on the streets. They were starving to death. They had no one to take care of them. Now with Social Security, they have some level of independence, and they're living longer.
My argument against that would be, number one, your health is your responsibility, not the government's. Number two, if you didn't plan during your lifetime for your retirement, if you're going to retire, that's really your responsibility.
What government program worked, and you're going to get a response is what government program worked, not whether or not it's moral.
I wouldn't argue that it has worked. And my reason being for that is because it's essentially bankrupt. It's running out of money year after year. The way the program was set up was a disaster. It was a ticking time bomb. That to me is not a successful program. A successful program to me is something that can actually fiscally work. And this doesn't. If you can't afford it,
is it true?
It,
hold on, Brian. Is it true, Mark, place? That old people were dying in the streets?
I don't know, but that's the picture they'll paint.
I was going to say, I never heard that one.
Well, that's the picture that'll be painted. Of course, the rebuttal to what Brian's saying here is that, hey, all we need to do is raise the cap on Social Security. Look at all these rich people making so much money. You take 7%, 7.5% of what they're making, Social Security's back solvent as it could possibly be because of the 1% bad.
Brian, what
and
you say
so
that?
What? At the end of the day, we have a program that can't pay for itself. Yes, it's set upon. Yes, it could be modified and changed. But as far as I know, the way that it's running, they're still running out of money. Even if they do make these changes, they're just going to be temporary fixes.
Well, one of the worst things about it, I think. One of the worst things I think about it is that I could use that 7.5 or 15%, depending on how one wants to quantify it, because an employer pays to have you around. They pay that other 7.5% for you, so you could argue that that's your paycheck. They take your money and they don't let you invest it the way you want. So. Social Security for the average person comes back at about 1% increase over what they made. Some people make a killing on it, and other people lose money. It's been shown that women live longer, whites live longer, rich people live longer, so Social Security is a program that for every one rich white woman who lives to, 95 or whatever and collects it, some poor black men had to support her in doing it. So it is a wealth redistribution program from the poor to the rich, from the black to the white, and from the male to the female. But besides all that, I could just take the money that I was going to make and invest it in something that's better than 1% return, which is less than inflation.
You could also take that money and help your mom out or your dad out or whoever, elderly folks that need to be taken care of,
yep,
rather than handing it over to government bureaucrats to waste away. Hey, thanks, Brian. Good call. Appreciate it. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And he's certainly right. There's no guarantee that any of us would be able to collect Social Security when we got to 65. Not that I've been paying in, so screw that. It's Free Talk Live.
So who else will you meet at the Get Prepared Expo? For starters, from Republic Broadcasting, John Moore and John Statmiller. From GCN, Aaron and Brad Dakins, Joyce Ryland, and me, Vincent Finelli. Joining us are the instructors whom you've learned to trust. Surgeon of the Year, Dr. Norman Shuley. Engineer, Matt Stein. The real Fox Mulder of the X-Files, Dr. Richard Allen Miller. Author and analyst, Captain John Reagan. Your counterterrorist from Central America, Mike Ma. Dental center owner and my dentist, Dr. Howard Shane. Radiation instructor, Craig Douglas. Author and survivalist, Rich Sheban. Author, Judy Dollarhite. Cancer center owner from Mexico, Dr. Patrick Vickers. Bug out expert and pilot, Captain Bill Sermo. Beekeeper, Jeff Maddox. Seedsman, Mike Knox. Author, Gayla Pruitt. Author, Harry Cooper. Food expert, Joe Acapinti. And Bill Whaley, the junk man. March 27, 28, and 29. GetPreparedExpo.com, the largest preparedness and survival expo in the USA.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
The freeze-dry guy, leader in the preparedness industry for 44 years, is closing his California warehouse. Don't miss out on this huge warehouse sale and receive discounts from 30 to 40% off on the finest Mountain House and Packaway brand freeze-dried and dehydrated foods for long-term food storage or even everyday use. Plus deep discounts on all in-stock survival gear. The freeze-dry guy is offering a wide selection of freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans and even individually packaged entrees. Remember, meats, vegetables, fruits, and long-range patrol rations are the main components for any long-term food storage. This is limited to stock on hand, so hurry and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, as always, free shipping to the lower 48 states. So hurry up and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, this is limited to stock on hand. The freeze-dry guy is your choice for survival food in an uncertain world.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You may dial toll free and bring up whatever's on your mind. 855-450-FREE. Coming up, the latest on the Silk Road case. And will it be coming back for round two? If Ross Ulbricht's attorney gets his way, it will. But, of course, the judge in the case hasn't let Ross Ulbricht's attorney get his way at all, pretty much, throughout the first trial, so I wouldn't expect her to grant this particular motion. We'll give you more details on what it entails here in a moment. And, of course, you can join us online anytime at freetalklive.com. Get interactive on our website for free with other Free Talk Live listeners at freetalklive.com. Let's go to your phone calls and thoughts as Travis is on the line with us in I don't know where. Travis, you're on Skype. Go ahead.
Hi. Just saying no from South Carolina.
All right. Go ahead, sir.
I want to talk to you about the net neutrality case. From what I understand, the deal with Verizon is between Verizon and Netflix. Apparently, Netflix didn't want to pay their high bandwidth costs because apparently their cost, their amount of bandwidth they were using has gone up somewhere towards 50 to 60% of a good chunk of the total internet.
I heard it was 33% of the entire internet is what Netflix was using. And, yeah, it was actually one of our online producers, SciFaze, who said apparently it was Comcast and Verizon that were allegedly slowing down Netflix. And
I heard it was all of them.
Hey, can I, a quick technical question. Are you on like a headset or something like that or speakerphone?
I'm afraid so.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds a little cruddy. But go ahead with your point.
Yeah. Don, I don't know if you mentioned it earlier or not, but the biggest thing is they didn't want to pay for what they were using, and because they refused to pay, they continued to pay what their previous contract was. They did, in fact, throttle Netflix slowly, and that's where a lot of this came from, as far as net neutrality was for.
Yeah,
that's the only source of throttling that I could ever find on the internet.
Travis, thanks for the thoughts. Appreciate the expertise. Thank you. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Okay, fine. So let's just take the one person who said this, that Verizon and Comcast were supposedly throttling Netflix, and that angered some people. Well, had things gone on for, you know, over a period of time, customers would have had a reason to quit. If you're a Netflix user and you can't watch your movie in HD, because what throttling means is that they're slowing down the connection, right? So when you're watching video, they're yep. streaming that video to you, and whatever that data rate is that they can stream it to you determines the quality of the video. And so if you've ever watched Netflix streaming, if you've got bandwidth issues, then they stream it at a lower bit rate because you still want to watch the movie, or you want to likely see the movie without having to wait a half an hour for it to buffer or something like that. So
that doesn't work, by the way, on at least Amazon Prime. If you just sort of try to wait around, it'll...
You can't do that.
Yeah,
huh?
It won't buffer. It's really not very effective.
So what they'll do is they'll send you to a 500 kilobit per second stream or a 1,000 kilobits instead of 2,000 kilobits, for instance, or 2 megabit. And so, you know, if you can get 1.5 or 2 megabit, you'll get HD quality. But if you don't get that level, then you'll get SD quality, the standard resolution, the lower kind of DVD quality.
And sometimes you get this pixelated big sort of squares in the screen.
That means
quality.
You've got real bandwidth
issues.
And then
sometimes it just stops. You know, that's just the way it is.
But, I mean, if customers are only going to put up with that for so long, and they're going to call and they're going to complain, and if enough people are going, and if enough people complain and they don't do anything about it, they're going to look for another option, and whoever it is that's providing the better option for Netflix is going to get all that business, which could be significant.
Yeah, it's sad to me because of the existence of a state that any of this happens at all. It's like, if in the absence of the state, what would Netflix really be able to do? They would have the option to advertise ISPs that are not throttling them, you know, have
sure.
certain arrangements and play ads before their shows.
Have the Netflix approved ISP.
Right.
Give them their endorsement.
Yeah, they could, I imagine they could play ads and they could remove ads from ISPs like Comcast and Verizon if they are throttling them.
That's a good point.
Make it known to their customers like, hey, we'd like to make this service cheaper for you, but we're going to have to raise our rates because Comcast and Time Warner Cable, whoever it is, won't cooperate
right,
with
the
us.
Same thing happens with satellite television. There was a recent sort of a variant on that happens with satellite TV. With satellite television and cable as well, they have individual agreements with each of the channel providers. So, you know, Disney provides ESPN and the Disney Channel and ABC and, you know, certain channels. Fox provides Fox and Fox News and Fox Business. And, you know, they have these different channels and they have individual agreements for all of them. And there was a recent situation, I think it was Dish, if I'm recalling correctly. Dish and Fox had some sort of a fallout with a renegotiation of a contract. And Dish, I think it was Fox that pulled their channel from Dish.
Oh, wow.
Sorry if I'm misremembering, but one side or the other pulled the channel. And so then, you know, Dish puts out this statement saying, hey, Fox tried to screw us. And Fox says, well, this is our side of the story. And they're trying to let their customers decide how to handle it. And obviously Fox wanted their customers to abandon Dish. And Dish wanted their customers to call Fox and complain. And, you know,
vice versa or whatever it was.
Yeah. Let the market decide. Let them handle these things.
Yeah. But unfortunately, a state does exist. And so companies like Netflix will go to them and say, this isn't fair. We can't negotiate an arrangement on an open marketplace. We can't be clever enough to tell our customers what's going on and incentivize the people we do business with to work in our favor. And so we'd like the heavy hand of government to come in and make the internet all the same for everybody. And I'm sure what their hope is, if I were Netflix, my hope would be going to the government and saying, you know, make it so that all ISPs have to give us full throttle internet, whatever it is. We want 1080p coming through the tubes for everybody. And that's probably their intention, but with unintended consequences of government regulation, I guarantee what's going to happen is you get 720p video for everybody, or even worse. You know, when everyone has to be provided the same quality service, the quality tends to diminish. It's not like it's going to stay at that top tier.
Right. I mean, with my DSL that I get at my house, you have an option of paying more to get more megabytes per second or whatever. You have like
sign me up.
A tier of like seven.
I need more megabits.
I think it's like two and seven and 15.
By the way, Mark,
like
a megabyte is 8 times the data as a megabit.
Fine. Yeah. I don't care. I just don't care.
Just saying.
Yeah. Don't care.
So, Derek J., is there more from this story that you felt was worth sharing?
Yeah, a little bit of background on it. I said that it was proposed by Marsha Blackburn, and she's a Republican from Tennessee, and 30 Republican colleagues in the last year. Now, this is a bias article against Blackburn and this bill. They're trying to make the case that, you know, she's in it for the big guys, the fat cats. And he says, in the last year, Blackburn received $87,000 from those ISPs and their lobby through her campaign committee and her political action committee. And, wow, $87,000, do they think that's what one politician can be bought for? Sounds like a pretty cheap price tag to me. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Bribery. Five other co-sponsors received $50,000 or more in the same cycle. Again, this is not sounding like, if it doesn't have a million figure in front of it, I'm not seeing it's any.
Well, these aren't presidential campaigns, so these are still these are numbers of note.
Yeah.
Remember when it comes to
$50,000 for one buyout for a senator?
I don't know.
Doesn't sound like much.
Nobody on the other side's giving her any money.
Yeah, okay. The NCTA, and they gave that acronym for us earlier, the National Cable and Telecommunications Association, spent almost $200,000, or about 30% of its total Republican House spending budget, funding just 23 co-sponsors of this bill. So it sounds like they're pouring like a large majority of their money at this. And there are... 250 Republicans in the House, and the NCTA donated campaign money to about half of them last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to be shocked by any of this.
Yeah,
okay, what's new?
Yeah,
the lobby, there's money going around D.C.
That's not a big deal. But to your point, it goes on later in the article to specify that the bill has virtually no chance of passing.
Right.
President Obama insisted in this year's State of the Union address, and in recent public comments, he'd veto any legislation that would allow ISPs to block traffic or create a speed toll for competitors. In other words, Obama will not allow companies or ISPs to offer certain services to their customers, even if that's what the services, even if that's what the customers want.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, this is just a campaign move. I mean, this is them being able to that way, and you know, doing this so they can in 2016. Yeah,
this
say,
is all about fair and bad corporations.
Yeah, we did this in 2016, but Obama stopped us. You need to vote for a Republican for president if you want internet freedom. Blah. It's Free Talk Live.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
You hear that, kid? That's the hum of a well-run facility. You know what I hate hearing? Silence. Silence on a production line means downtime. Downtime means wasted time. Wasted time means wasted money. Silence isn't golden, kid. It's deadly. That's why I love Grainger. With a wide variety of the latest products, Grainger gets us what we need when we need it to help keep this place up and running and humming away. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
By now you may have heard a bit about bitcoins, but did you know bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of Alex Jones because he has the courage to speak his mind more than just about anyone I know. Alex is just as bothered as I am about all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond Osteo FX. I recommend you go online to InfoWarsTeam.com to purchase these products and make them part of your daily regimen to get healthy and live longer. InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Moments remain, but there's enough time for you. If you dial now, toll free, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype as well. Our Skype username is lrn.fm. Don't forget to go and check out Derek J on his new website URL.
Yeah. TheDerekJ.com.
TheDerekJ.com. You can still use the old one
as
well, DerekJ.me.
Yeah.
And it is a very nicely laid out site with all of your media efforts, all easy to find in one place.
Yeah, thank you. There's going to be lots of Liberty Forum behind-the-scenes video coming up. Yeah, exclusive footage.
You were shooting video there?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, just, you know.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, sneaking around and catching some candid shots of people producing live programs, and all it was lots of fun.
TheDerekJ.com. The new site.
That's it.
Go check him out over there and download all kinds of great Derek J content like Flaming Freedom.
Woo!
You're doing Freedom Fiends. You're doing Free Talk Live, of course.
And Cop Block Radio.
That's right. It's all there and more. Blog posts, video, etc. TheDerekJ.com. Ross Ulbricht. We have been covering his case in great detail. His mom was at the Liberty Forum this weekend giving what looked like it was an excellent presentation about how the government basically screwed over Ross and his defense attorney in the case that came to a close over a month ago now. It was early February, I think, when the Ross Ulbricht case wrapped up. But it's not over yet. Not if his attorney will get his way. According to, I believe this is ArsTechnica.com, Ross Ulbricht, convicted last month on federal charges of running the online drug bazaar Silk Road, is seeking a new trial premised on what his lawyers contend was the government's failure to provide evidence potentially pointing to his innocence in a, quote, timely manner.
Federal jury on February 4th found the 30-year-old guilty on all seven federal charges of being the mastermind behind the site where hundreds of millions of dollars in illegal goods, including drugs and hacking tools, were traded with Bitcoin before authorities shuttered the site in late 2013.
But they haven't sentenced him yet, right?
That's correct. That's coming up in May.
See, this is... I think this is posturing for sentencing.
Okay.
You know, ultimately, that's what this is coming down to. I mean, you know, maybe he'll get another trial, but is it really going to be any different result? I mean, basically, they already said he did it.
Well, they said he created the Silk Road, but they didn't say that he had run it the entire time. They said that he ran it in the beginning and then handed it off to new operators who somehow enticed him to come back right before it got busted and essentially set him up. That story was never told during the trial because certain witnesses were prevented from testifying for the defense. And what also was never told was how the federal government even found the Silk Road server in the first place. Did they use illegal methods to uncover that information?
Sure.
Well, going on here, the argument is that Mr. Ulbricht should be granted a new trial because the government failed to provide exculpatory material and information in a timely manner, thereby denying him his Fifth Amendment right to due process and a fair trial, said Joshua Dreitel, the defendant's lead attorney, in a court filing on Friday. The motion, which also seeks to keep out evidence of the Silk Road servers discovered in Iceland, is not the first time Dreitel has sought a new trial on behalf of his client, who was known online as Dread Pirate Roberts. During the weeks-long case, Dreitel had called for a mistrial, demands that U.S. Judge Catherine Forrest declined. Among other allegations, Dreitel's motion says the government, just 2 weeks before trial, handed over some 5,000 pages of material concerning the nature of the upcoming testimony of a Department of Homeland Security agent, who was the government's first witness. The evidence concerned, Dreitel wrote in his motion, quote, information about an alternative perpetrator, unquote. During the trial, Dreitel suggested the man who really controlled the Silk Road wasn't his young client, but Mark Karpeles, the wealthy former owner of the MT Gox Bitcoin exchange. Quote, you thought you had probable cause that Mark Karpeles was intimately involved as the head of Silk Road, correct? Dreitel had asked the Department of Homeland Security agent Jared Duryegahan during his cross-examination. The agent answered, quote, by the contents of that affidavit, yes. In 2013, he'd filled out papers asking a judge for a warrant to further investigate Karpeles, whom the authorities eventually cleared. Dreitel said in court on January 15th, quote, our position is that he set up Mr. Ulbricht. Karpeles has denied the allegations repeatedly. The 12-member jury reached its guilty verdicts on all seven counts after deliberating for less than 4 hours. Ulbricht faces up to life in prison, and the minimum, by the way, 30 years. Unless a new trial is granted, his scheduling is sentenced for May 15th. The government has until April to respond to Dreitel's latest defense efforts. And the seven charges against Ulbricht included three drug counts, distributing and aiding and abetting the distribution of narcotics, distributing narcotics or aiding and abetting distribution over the internet, and conspiracy to violate narcotics laws. He was also convicted on a fourth count of conspiracy to run a continuing criminal enterprise, which involves supervising at least five other people in an organization. That's the so-called kingpin charge. What's more, he was convicted on conspiracy charges for computer hacking, distributing false identification, and money laundering. Another issue Dreitel once relitigated is how the government discovered the Silk Road servers and whether it did it via denial of service attacks. So the motion has been filed in court for a retrial in the Silk Road case. I will link to this story here from Ars Technica because they actually do link to the court filing itself. So you can actually pull up the entire PDF, which is 33 pages, and you can sift through that. Now, this is likely going in front of the very same judge that had, you know, been completely complicit in allowing the prosecution to just run roughshod all over Ross Ulbricht's rights to a fair trial. I mean, there were multiple instances of this. One of the most egregious was the fact that the defense did not get the witness list that would be used against them until literally the weekend before the trial. So how it is you can possibly prepare a defense in a weekend's time, I really have no idea. And I don't know if that's mentioned in this 33-page motion. I haven't taken the time to read the entire thing.
How do they expect the outcome to be different if it's going to be tried before the same judge?
Well, it would be a different jury, and in theory, they would have more time to actually put a case together if this was granted, which there's almost no chance it'll be granted because it is the same judge.
Right. Yeah, the one thing that I think is extra legitimate about this challenge is that hopefully with the retrial, the defense will be aware of how the evidence was acquired. It sounds like they're asking for that evidence for this new trial, right? That they're like, we still don't know how the government acquired the copy of the Silk Road server that they claim to have.
Right, because they didn't call that particular witness.
Yeah.
Tarball.
But so we don't really know how that was acquired, and I think that could play a big factor in the new jury's decision.
Well, right, because if they illegally gained access to that server...
Yeah, imagine if they're like, oh, well, yeah, we skipped over that in the first trial, but we just had our buddies over at the NSA just grab a copy, you know, when someone was on it.
And, which would
and
be
then
illegal.
The whole jury is like, well, wait a minute, you can do what? And you did what?
Yeah.
We don't like that. So even if he is guilty, we're going to find him not guilty because you violated a person's rights. I mean, it's a lot of hoping, but I think it's the best chance they've got. Mark?
I think that's all they can do. I mean, this is what lawyers do. As far as I'm concerned, the team has stunk from the beginning. Yeah, they had an uphill battle with these judges and that sort of thing. But, you know, an attorney team that comes out of the gate and says, yeah, we did it, I'm not really that impressed with.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, that was not... I didn't think that was a very good strategy. But, again, Ross is saying that everything that, you know, the attorneys have done, he's done with his consent, right?
Fine. Ross Ulbricht, from the looks of it, ran a drug enterprise inside of the United States, which is the punishes people more severely for drug crimes than most nations on the planet, has really the most effective drug-catching apparatus out there. And he could have just as easily gone to another country. I'm sorry. It's not that I don't want bad things for him, but if you make poor decisions in life, you're going to get bad results. And this is a series, a long series of bad decisions.
I'm trying to remember what it's called, and maybe one of you guys can remind me here. So if they put this motion in, obviously the state's going to respond and say, oh, everything was fine. And then the judge is going to say, I agree, everything was fine, and motion dismissed. He can then appeal to a higher level court. He can appeal the decision of that judge. What is that called? It's
an appeal?
No. It's an appeal that stops the trial.
Injunction?
There's a certain type of appeal, and I'm sorry.
You're the one who knows more about court.
I know that. I realize that. I'm just spacing on the name of it. But anyway, when a judge makes a decision that the court believes, or that the defense or whoever believes is wrong, or the prosecution believes is wrong, they can basically interrupt the goings-on of that trial, appeal that decision, and then once that decision is made by a higher-level court, it then goes back to the initial trial.
I think what we can hope for here is a low sentence, like something like 10 years or something.
Not possible. The minimum is 30.
Well, it's possible.
No, it's not. The minimum is 30.
The judge... I mean, I guess they can do anything they want, but yeah, they would claim that her hands are tied.
Her hands certainly weren't tied through this thing as she, you know, rigged the whole system all the way through.
Motion in limine? I don't know. That's not it. No, that's not it. Not motion. I don't know. I'll figure it out some other time. Probably as soon as I shut the mics off. All right, so we're done for tonight. We'll see you online between now and the next time, which is tomorrow night, for more Free Talk Live. Go to freetalklive.com. And, of course, as the Ulbricht case continues to develop, we will keep you in the loop. And don't forget to check out thederickj.com.
Well, I did it. I finally left the empire behind. And now that I'm safely settled in Chile, I'm gathering with others like me to build a new community called Fort Galt. Fort Galt is designed to be the ideal home base for professionals and their families to live and work in peace. If you're ready to ditch the super state and bring your business to freer lands, visit us online at fortgalt.com. That's fortgalt.com.
In a trial by jury, the primary function of a juror is not to dispense punishment to the accused. It is to protect your fellow citizens from being unjustly deprived of their life, liberty, or property. As a juror, you can say no to unjust laws and prevent government abuses of power by refusing to convict. Legislative, executive, judicial. The fourth branch of government is we the people. Find out more from the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call? And how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.